This podcast is brought to you by the National Association of Realtors. Whether you're a budding small business owner or a large company looking for a new space, a realtor, a member of the National Association of Realtors, can help you find the right place to grow. So get what your business needs. Get Realtor.
This is Your Money Matters from the Wall Street Journal.
Welcome to Your Money Matters. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli in New York. Bitcoin is notorious for its volatility. The cybercurrency plunged nearly 25% last week after soaring to record new heights in November and December. That has investors watching closely. But imagine this. You want to cash in or get out, but you can't remember your password. We've all had the experience of forgetting a password to an online account. But for Bitcoin, it's very different because there's no official authority to contact to help you reset it. Joining me now in our studio to talk about this particular challenge are Wall Street Journal reporters Allison Sider and Stephanie Yang. So, Allison, there's a great phrase in the piece you both wrote for the Wall Street Journal that really gets to the crux of the problem. It's like losing a bank password, but there's no bank to contact. It's not like you can just call someone for help or click a forgot password link and get an email to reset it.
Yeah, and the interesting thing is that was part of the appeal to a lot of people who bought Bitcoin. They wanted to sort of get away from financial institutions and sort of cut the middlemen, the banks, out of transactions. But that puts a lot of responsibility on the individual person who owns Bitcoin. You sort of have to become your own bank.
Stephanie, typical password requirements seem to be getting more and more complex, but Bitcoin passwords are in a league of their own. Can you explain the password requirements?
Right. So to move Bitcoin around, as we wrote in the story, you need a public key and a private key. And so what you really want to protect is that private key, which is just a long string of incoherent letters and numbers. Like, I've looked at them and examples of them, and I just would never be able to remember that. So basically what people do is they make up passwords to protect their private key and then passwords on top of that, and then recovery tools. And then you have all these layers of security that you have to get through. And most of the time, it seems like with a lot of people who bought Bitcoin when, you know, it was worth, I don't know, $10, $15, $20, they've forgotten at least one, maybe more, of those codes that they originally had needed.
Right. And as you mentioned in the article, there was actually an episode of The Big Bang Theory where this happened. And you both talked to investors who had bought in years ago and are now watching Bitcoin soar and are unable to do anything to get their money.
Yeah, it's really frustrating for a lot of people. We talked to a lot of people who, you know, maybe forgot they even bought Bitcoin. And now that the prices are so high, you know, Bitcoin's at one point almost hit $20,000 per Bitcoin. You know, now that prices are so high, people really would love to get back into those accounts. And they're finding that for a lot of different reasons, they can't. You know, maybe they wrote their password down, they had a typo and it's off by one digit and they can't remember it. Or maybe their hard drive that it was stored on has been corrupted or thrown out. You know, there's just a lot that can go wrong.
And especially as, you know, prices have been going higher and higher, I think, you know, we found people are more willing to do kind of out there drastic things in order to get it back because the stakes are so much higher. So, for example, you know, we wrote in this story that there was this guy in Wales who threw away his hard drive in 2013. And, you know, at that time he thought, well, I'd really like to get this back. But if there's nothing I can do, then, you know, I'm kind of stuck. And now the value of that hard drive and that private key is upwards of $100 million. And so as you see that value keep climbing, you think, okay, well, it's worth it to try and do something really big now in order to get it back.
Yeah, I think some of the people we talked to are, you know, very seriously thinking about hypnosis.
Wow.
You know, hiring hackers to get into their accounts, just thinking, you know, it's either I trust this guy and he might clean me out or he'll take a 20% cut or I've got nothing, so I might as well try it.
And there was this guy who built a supercomputer. Ali, you know more about that, but it was very interesting.
Yeah, one of the people we talked to, he bought 15 Bitcoin. He had an e-commerce site a couple years ago and was sort of thinking about whether to accept Bitcoin as payment. So he bought a couple just to try it out. And, you know, eventually he just sort of moved on to other business ventures, you know, didn't give it a whole lot more thought. But now those 15 Bitcoin, I mean, their value has climbed towards $300,000. And, you know, it was worth it for him to try and do something. So he's built a really large supercomputer. It's like 5 feet tall by 2 feet wide. And it sits in a a huge, it's almost like a fish tank full of this mineral water. So it disperses the heat that the supercomputer gives off, and it's just trying millions and millions of potential passwords that he could use to get in. And I mean, it could take hundreds of years, even with a computer that powerful.
So is it basically in a cooling tank so
yeah.
that it can cool down as it's trying out all these different passcodes?
Yeah, that way it can run 24/7, you know, just constantly churning through various passcodes. I mean, he told me that the password he used was probably like upwards of 25 characters because he wanted to make it secure. So it's really long and it's going to be really hard to crack it.
Wow. But as you say, when this much money is at stake, it makes sense that people would take extreme measures to try to get it.
Yeah. And, you know, one of the things that we kind of encountered is that these are people who are very secretive and worried about security. Because, you know, if your Bitcoin gets stolen, again, there's no bank to contact. It's not like when your debit card or your credit card gets stolen and the bank says, you know what, it's fine, we'll take care of it. There's just no one to go to. So a lot of people that we reached out to were very suspicious. You know, they thought we might be hackers. They didn't want to give their full names. But, you know, more people are getting desperate and turning to, you know, we talked to this service, you know, this guy that goes by Dave Bitcoin. You know, he doesn't give out his real name, and he will help you try out new passwords. And basically, if you have some sort of memory of what may have been in your password, he can help you crack it for 20% of whatever he recovers. And this guy has, I don't know, like a 4-year track record or so, and it seems really risky, but we talk to a lot of people who are willing to take that risk because otherwise it's just sitting there forever and you can't get any of it.
Wow. And he's had success cracking some codes for people.
Yeah. We talked to a lot of satisfied customers who just thought they had no other option.
I've been speaking with Wall Street Journal reporters Allison Sider and Stephanie Yang about Bitcoin passwords. And you're listening to Your Money Matters from the Wall Street Journal.
A new home in 4 years, college tuition in 9, retirement in 15. For life's most important events, there's a when. But in order to plan properly, you also need a how. iShares understands the importance of how, like how to start building for the things that matter most today, so by the time when arrives, you'll be ready. iShares by BlackRock. Inspired to build. One more thing, we are conducting a survey, and we would be grateful for your help in answering a few questions. It will take less than 10 minutes of your time, and your participation helps support this podcast. Please go to slate.com/survey2 to complete the short survey now. Thank you.
Welcome back, everybody. Allison, the reason Bitcoin requires such complicated password keys is so investors don't need anyone in the middle. And that's, as we've been talking about, one of the benefits and attractive things about Bitcoin. But in this case, it's part of the problem.
Yeah, what we've learned is that it can be really hard to keep track of your Bitcoin. You really have to know what you're getting into, you know, once you buy it. We spoke to a lot of people who bought it years ago, you know, and it was very new, and, you know, maybe they bought it on a lark as an experiment, or someone paid them in Bitcoin, or as a gift, and, you know, they sort of lost track of it over the years. You got a new computer, you get a new phone, you wrote your password down on a piece of paper, and then cleaned your room and tossed it out. It's a lot easier than you might think to lose your password, and, you know, I think most people weren't expecting the kind of run-up that we've seen, you know, a 1900% rally. It's a lot of people didn't see it coming and weren't that careful about storing their information.
And there's a lot more at stake here than, say, losing your email password or forgetting it temporarily and getting a reset link.
Sure, there's really no one to call to reset it. And, you know, transactions in Bitcoin can't be reversed. So you can't call up your credit card company and have them reverse the charges.
Stephanie, do we have estimates of how widespread this problem is with Bitcoin users forgetting their password? How many people are affected by this?
So we really only have estimates. And one of the, you know, organizations that we talked to, Chainalysis, has done some studies on this. But again, these are very rough numbers. What they basically do, kind of when people want to look at, okay, how many Bitcoin are lost, just out of circulation, we'll never get to them again. They look at activity in digital wallets. And so if coins are sitting in a digital wallet and they haven't been accessed for a long time, you know, estimate about maybe 30 to 50% of the time those are lost forever. Of course, there are some people who are holding on and will just never sell. So they're just going to sit there dormant. But, you know, with some cases, making educated guesses that it probably is someone who's lost their password and that's where it is. So from Chainalysis, they estimate that anywhere between 2.8 million to 3.8 million Bitcoin are lost, about a little less than a quarter of the total supply.
That's a lot. And we've also seen interest spiking as Bitcoin skyrockets. So I wonder if you both have any advice to offer people who are looking into it now to prevent this from happening.
Well, you know, one of the people we spoke to in the story, he takes his security very seriously, and he has stored his Bitcoin on a hardware device that has a PIN, and then he has a mnemonic recovery phrase. It's 24 words, and he keeps that on a contraption called a crypto steel. There's a couple of these on the market. He keeps those 24 words stored on these little metal tiles, and he has a separate crypto steel for a separate password, and he keeps one of them several states away. And, you know, he was telling us that maybe it sounds a little paranoid, but this is real money that we're talking about, so maybe something like that makes sense.
Yeah, and I think some people lose sight of the fact that because it's a digital currency and you're not holding it in your hand, we are talking about actual money that people are losing or maybe not able to access.
Yeah, and as, you know, more people have gotten into the market or are interested in holding Bitcoin, there is the option of storing it with a third-party exchange or organization in which you don't have to keep your private key handy. But at the same time, some people don't prefer that method because it opens you up to hacking. You know, if the third-party organization gets hacked, then you've lost your private key and there's nothing you could really have done about it.
Yeah, I guess, you know, if you're like me and you hit the password reset link on your email or Facebook or bank account, you know, a couple times a month, I'd think really carefully about how you want to store something like this.
I've been speaking with Wall Street Journal reporters Allison Sider and Stephanie Yang. Thank you both for joining me.
Thank you.
Thanks.
And thank you for listening to Your Money Matters. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli in New York.
Is Alexa part of your life? Then make Your Money Matters part of your flash briefing on the Amazon Echo. The Wall Street Journal. Listen ambitiously.